Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, back here on a Monday afternoon. And my, what a weekend it was. Lapeer days this year.
It couldn't decide if it wanted to rain or not.
And it pretty much decided that it was going to threaten it all weekend. And just when you thought you were safe, oh no. Could be completely blue skies and all of a sudden rain. That's just how this weekend wanted to go. Like, so bad that at one point we literally ended up tearing down the outdoor remote mobile studio and broadcasting from the hallway here inside the building.
It was like the last hour of the broadcast, so it was all good. It was all good in the hood.
Right. It was a fun weekend, though. Thank you to everyone who stopped by and gave us a hard time.
Yep.
All our friends here that stopped by and
Wes did a live show. Wes did a live show. That was cool to hear.
Oh yeah, like we called in as many of the ringers as we could for this thing, and believe me, we needed every bit of them. So that was an absolute blast of a time, and as such, I guess summer remote season has basically come to an end. We'll be in the studio more or less from here on out.
I don't know. I think we need to find some places that might want to hire us to do remotes, broadcast from like bars, restaurants, stores. Of that nature. That'd be fun.
Yeah, if you want Happy Hour to come out to your place of business for whatever reason, either hit us up on Facebook or email me, Sean@SolidStateRadio.net, and we can make that happen for you.
Absolutely.
We'd love, especially if you're a bar. Bars get priority over pretty much everything.
Wait a minute. Children's Hospital, you're paying $1,000? Oh, and then there's this watering hole that wants to pay us $100? Well, I guess I know where we're going.
Right? You ain't got much of a choice there. That place is also probably comping our bar tab.
Yeah.
Which is probably worth more than the grand at the end of the day.
The end of the show. You can't understand a word we're saying, but we are funny.
Oh, we think we're hilarious at that point. You won't have a clue what we're talking about, but, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes.
That's right.
So, just right off the jump, let's get a little bit of Tigers talk out of the way. Because this team has now won 6 of its last 7, 8 of its last 12. And this is a time where, had you gotten like one or two more wins and had, you know, one or two more starting pitchers in the pre-trade deadline part of the season, you'd be talking about crazy things like a playoff push and things of that nature. And I'm just so bummed that now this team's starting to turn on. They called up the young guys, and they have been doing, by and large, pretty well thus far. Jace Young, particularly, since he's been called up, he has he's hitting .333 in his first 12 appearances at the plate, including basically the hit that saved last night's game at the MLB Little League Classic or whatever, where bottom of the ninth, you're down by one, two outs, and Young comes up to the plate and pokes one through that drives through the tying run and saves this game for Detroit that it looked like they were getting set to lose because they just could not cobble together any offense that night. They end up going on to win that game 3-2, but it was nice to see, like, in the most like clutch of moments, that already the new guy is very much proving that it seemingly he belongs at the major league level. So far, Trey Sweeney, you've gotten one hit, which he did come around to score on, and his 7 at-bats, but, you know, we're only like 3 games into his major league career as well, and I'm hoping he works out because, man, I would love to have a permanent replacement so you could cut Javi Baez this offseason. Nothing would make me happier than that. And they've made it pretty clear that they're going to be giving him and Young extended looks at short and third, as evidenced by the fact that Gio Urshela got cut before those guys got called up. So it looks like Young basically is your starting third baseman from here on out. They called Torque back up so far. He hasn't done a whole lot of anything. But it is just rather interesting to see the guys who did end up getting to stay. Zach McKinstry stays up. Justin Henry Molloy goes back down to Toledo. I'm actually kind of surprised that Molloy is going back down to Toledo, and just in that, you figured all the young guys who are going to be looked at as contributors to this thing for the long term, well, you kind of figure that they're all going to stay up here through the, now that everyone's basically been called up for, all the young guys are getting called up. So that, I thought that was kind of odd. But of all the times, now this team's starting to turn it around and start really hitting. You know, Parker Meadows had 3 hits in last night's game. You know, Kerry Carpenter is back and, for the most part, better than ever. I mean, Colt Keith is even hitting a robust 256 right now. And I wasn't sure that he was going to, at one point, whether he was going to be able to maintain over the Mendoza line. And it just, it kills you when you look at the fact that you have, basically, your starting rotation, Tarek Skubal, and nobody else. Like, literal nobody else. Not like, I'm not even just, you know, being flip about the whole thing. Like, oh, yeah, you've got a bunch of garbage other than that. It's literally him. Kader Montero, I think, counts as a starter, and that's it. Like, every other game that has been played in the last, basically since you traded Flaherty, has been, it's been a bullpen day. You've had Bo Breisky as an opener. You've had Tyler Holton as an opener. And I don't even know what they, oh, Alex Fiedo as an opener. And then Kenta Maeda coming in, and actually his last his appearance against Seattle in that last game was far more impressive than it had any right to be. But it's like you just think if maybe you held on to, say, a Jack Flaherty at the deadline. I get that you had to do what you had to do and try and rebuild this thing for the future. I mean, obviously you ended up getting Sweeney out of the deal, so it was certainly a necessary move. But it just kills me that just a couple starting pitching performances, and you could have been contenders. Call the young guys up, and you probably have a few more wins than you do now. It's really frustrating to see it happen, you know, mid-August when you're still 8.5 games out of a wild card spot at best, and you know you're not making the playoffs or anything. But it's an odd space to be in right now as a baseball fan in this town. It's disappointing. It's kind of rough. It's encouraging. It's this weird point between frustrating and encouraging that, yeah, the young guys are starting to do really well, and you could have built something around this had you added, like, a bat. Maybe, I mean, the pitching luck was what it was. You lost Casey Mize and Reese Olson injuries. Those sort of things happen. I get it. But it would have been nice to see at least one move made towards making this thing a little bit better than it has been. Like, where's Matt Manning been in all this? Like, you're telling me we couldn't call him up, and I am looking to see. Like, I don't know what his Toledo stats have been this season, but like, he looked entirely serviceable when he was up here. Oh, he was pitching to the tune of a 4.53 ERA in Toledo. Okay, that makes a little more sense, but still probably would have been better than anything you were getting out of any of your other starting pitching to this point, and probably be better than running your bullpen ragged, because that's not a sustainable thing. By the time September comes around, your bullpen arms are going to be pretty much dead. We'll see how things play out, but at least for me, like, I'm trying to maintain that optimism of sorts for the future now that it looks like maybe you might have some guys in the system that can hit. But to me, it's just so much of a reminder, I guess, of what could have been with a couple extra pieces in the offseason that you could have really made a run. Like, this is probably the best opportunity you've had in quite some time with the division being what it is. Like, or at least to make a push for a wild card spot, because there are teams like Seattle. Like, Seattle was certainly in position for a wild card spot before they played 6 games against Detroit. And now they're slowly dropping out of things. It's just, it's hard to watch without feeling like, yo, man, we could have had something this season. A lot of stuff to do today. A lot more fun to have. We'll get off the Tigers thing. Don't worry. Stick around. It is happy hour. We'll be back right after this. You know, I've often gone on this show at this point about how TikTok is just, it's ruining the younger generation, apparently some of the older ones too. Makes everyone want their stupid 15 minutes of fame, you know, the whole brain dead monkey see, brain dead monkey do kind of thing. And, well, apparently it's really just tearing families completely apart, more than we thought it was.
I have a story coming up.
I've kind of long made my opinion well known on like TikTok and these sites where it seems like everyone is competing to extract 15 or more minutes of fame out of doing something incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
And apparently there's just some people that are so just fixated by the things they see on there that they have to try them in real life, but apparently fail to realize that, oh, there's sometimes consequences for your stupid actions.
Yeah.
And sometimes that might just mean that your family up and leaves you.
Well, I got a story here, and I pretty much gave you the synopsis of it. It's another one of those situations where somebody wants to do a prank and rope unsuspecting people in on the prank. You know, we see what's the Impractical Jokers, and there's a
lot of... I hate that show so much,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it's... Side note, those people have been doing the show for so long. Doesn't anybody recognize those guys anymore?
Right, like how are they still able to get away with this stuff?
Makes me wonder if some of these things are staged.
I'm sure they probably
question
are.
Mark. But yeah, the prank videos where you get unsuspecting people involved in it and it blows up in your face a lot. And this happens to this woman, this man and a wife who was 30. They're both 35. They've been married for 10 years. They had two kids together, 8-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son. She's been watching these prank videos on YouTube and she finds them totally hilarious. She started playing pranks on both her husband and the kids. Most of them were funny and harmless. Until one day they went out to breakfast. They went out to dinner. And he and his wife, their two children, went out to eat at a nice restaurant to celebrate their anniversary. Yet while they were just waiting for their food to arrive, wife thought it'd be funny to play a prank. All of a sudden, she randomly stood up and began screaming that he was choking her.
That's hilarious.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, that old gag.
Oh, yeah.
She was holding her throat.
Classic.
Tripping and falling to the ground, pretending to choke. Everyone in the restaurant turned to look at us. I mean, that's going to create a scene. And, you know, in this day and age, you don't know what's going to happen. He, on the other hand...
Yeah, some guy going to, like, decide that he really needs to get involved in this and go and just knock out the husband?
Yes, he's got... there's that guy that wants his he wants his 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to... If you lay a hand on a woman, I'm going to lay a hand on you. The husband didn't know what to do. He just stood there in shock, had no idea what was going on. I mean, and then probably clicked in his head, oh, this idiot. And, you know... Customers were rushing over. Manager comes over thinking there's a big problem. And she's just walking around going, laughing and claiming, she was just kidding. She was just kidding. Kids were crying. He got so angry that he told his wife he'd had enough of her pranks. He grabbed the kids and took them home, left her at the restaurant.
Should have left her with the bill, too.
Yeah, probably did. And, the manager probably just, oh, dude, you don't have to pay. Just get out. Once, and that wasn't enough. Once he got back to the house, he packed up. He packed himself up and the kids up, and he went to his brother's house and just left her completely.
And well, good.
And the wife
was really
calling him and texting him, saying that he is overreacting and she was just playing around. Not apologizing, saying that he was overreacting.
Yeah, he is the one who's overreacting by her doing something stupid like that. No.
Yeah, you embarrassed me by leaving me there, and you owe me an apology, she says.
I don't owe you a damn thing at this point. I don't owe you staying with you another minute. Like, I'm right filing for a divorce that day.
It was a Saturday night. He would have been waiting outside the courthouse. You're here early, huh?
Yep.
Some of the friends had since heard about what happened, and they're all split on this situation. Who would be for this? Who would be for this? Just, you're sitting there, all of a sudden, your significant other. In this day and age where, you know, just the accusation of domestic violence could get you to lose your job, get violence on you. I mean, get you pulled into, you know, a cop car, until proven innocent.
Yeah, like that could really ruin your life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these prank things where gets unsuspecting people involved. It's a recipe for disaster. Don't do it, especially you kids out there who, you know, you want to walk behind people at a store. Remember that video that we watched? Some kid was like taking this big PVC pipe around Home Depot and just kind of like yelling in people's ears.
Oh yeah,
and he effed around and found out. He got behind some guy, did that to him in his ear, and that guy put him in a reverse chokehold, got him down to the ground.
as well they should have, as well they deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, bro. I'm just kidding. Don't hurt me.
Well, I ain't kidding. Yeah. I don't kid.
You found out, didn't you, son?
You sure did.
I'm going to kick your teeth in. Didn't. Make sure you hit like and subscribe, a-hole.
Like, I don't understand, like, what possesses some people to... Like, was she also filming this thing? Like, there's part of me that wonders, like, is she trying to get, like, views out of this?
It didn't say that. So I don't think she did. So, I mean... She probably couldn't get one of the kids to, hey, mommy's going to act like she's a domestic abuse victim.
Well, no, that would blow the whole prank.
Yeah. Make sure you get mommy in frame, okay? And get a close-up of dad with the cold sweats coming out of him.
Make sure you zoom in when some other guy decides he's going to come in and show what a real man is, too.
Yeah. If we have a guy who wants to beat up daddy, make sure you go for a two-shot, okay? And let's make some magic happen, okay?
Like, this is almost as bad as the people that, like, use their kids as props in their videos.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly, because they were unsuspecting. They didn't know what's going on. Traumatizing them. I mean, yeah, she needs to stop the... I hereby declare that she's not allowed to get on the internet for the period of 5 years.
I feel like that's fair. Probably shouldn't have contact with the kids for the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Lest she try to involve them in some stupid viral prank video.
Oh, you know she would.
Oh, absolutely she would.
Sounds like she's got a mental illness that she needs to address. I know this isn't, you know, unsolicited advice or anything
but
like that.
But we're giving you unsolicited advice anyway,
yeah,
so there.
Yeah, so there. Get some help, woman.
Clearly needs it. I can't imagine being that self-centered to think that doing something like that is a good idea at any point in time.
And then after...
And not realizing the consequences of... Not only not realizing that, hey, you're, you know, that could have real world consequences if it goes the way you want it to go, yep. But also having the audacity, the brass cojones to yep. be upset with him for reacting the way he did when she told people he was choking her in public.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not even kind of like really upset. She's just one of those people that just likes to play the victim. We all know those people.
Yes,
they
we
like
do.
To play the victim. They don't like to say they're sorry. And it's those.
They're never wrong about anything. It's everyone else is out to get them.
Yes, that's probably. So I'm actually going to take a page out of the Sean Cantwell playbook. Cut all contact. File for divorce. You deserve better.
You know, it only took me, like, what, 7 years of doing this to finally bring you over to the dark side?
Well, it's just a different circumstance. But, you know, come on, King. You're better than that. Get rid of that zero. Get yourself a hero.
I love it. I love it. I love that I finally got you on board with this. Only took me, you know, the entire run of this radio show to get you to do it. But.
There you go.
And you can leave her to find another guy that can go and put some, you know, commit some pranks on her and see how she likes it.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know that people are just weird like that, though. Like, you see the ones that actually get posted on like YouTube and TikTok, where okay, clearly these people are staging these things, or these couples just absolutely hate each other. But don't even beyond, you know, doing that to your folks. Or to your kids and your significant other, like the people who like have to mess with restaurant and like server people, like you.
Oh yeah,
you remember I think we did this story a couple years ago on the show. Guy who was like trying to make his server do some sort of like YouTube like you know video challenge of some sort when he's trying to like, all right, one of these envelopes has a dollar in it for your tip, the other one has $100 or whatever, and then the server was just having like none of it.
Yeah. That's they're working. They're trying to make a living, and you're trying to you're talking down to them is pretty much what happened.
And they ended up, big shocker, not tipping at all.
Yeah.
For not going along with their viral video nonsense. Like, yeah. Like some of these people just have like the complete and utter lack of self-awareness. Like, it's like other people and their lives don't exist. And they don't have any sort of consideration for the people around them. And God, we see this so much. It's just this overly just it's a real narcissistic way to go through life, man. And it really is.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes wrong. I mean, there's one YouTube, about a year ago, some prankster got shot in Dulles Mall for playing a prank on somebody. It went wrong and got shot.
There was a guy who was like, you know, circling around, I think it was like a pizza guy or something, and he was like circling around this guy and is getting all in his face and stuff, and dude pulls out a gun and and
stands his ground.
Prankster found it. Yeah. Stood his ground indeed. I think the guy survived, and that probably should have been at that point the sign from whatever deity you believe in to maybe hang up the camera for a little while and, you know, touch some grass, man.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably like, as he's getting shot, he's like, you know what? Maybe I should just do like unboxing videos or something like that.
Right. Maybe I should take a hiatus from my channel for a little bit. Or do something a little less low stakes. Let's go stream some video games on Twitch or something. Yeah. Probably be a lot less dangerous to my health.
This is all going through his head as he's getting shot. It's like, you know, I think I'm going to take a hiatus. I'm going to go ahead and let all my listeners, my subscribers know that I'm going to be taking some time to work on myself and plug this hole.
But you know, the last thought he has before he, like, you know, passes out is, God, this is going to be so good for the YouTube views.
Yeah, yeah. He probably had the thing like, this guy just, he's just not, he doesn't understand our culture. He doesn't understand a joke. I mean, it's just a joke.
Yeah, well, sometimes you joke around and the joke doesn't go out the way you planned it. It is happy hour, and suffice it to say, dating culture has changed a little bit over the last, certainly one would say, 10, 15 years or so.
I think there's always been these kind of stories. It's just we're able to hear it now pretty much in real time. Because, I mean, you talk to anybody who, I know that when I was single for a while there, the dating pool is a very murky, shallow cesspool. It's rough. So if you're in a committed relationship and you think the grass is green on the other side, it isn't. Stay with your person, unless, you know.
I've never thought that for a second.
No, yeah, yeah.
I know.
You stay where you're put.
Absolutely.
Stay put where you are, yeah. So, because after
in my case, usually it's stay where you're put. Don't leave until I come. Thankfully, she usually sets me at the bar and then tells me, wait here until I come back, which is nice.
Don't you go anywhere.
All right, that's fine. There's beer here. It's okay.
Stay.
There's whiskey. I'm good.
So I was talking about that prank topic the last time, and that right along one of the other headlines, this woman goes out to eat with her boyfriend, and he insists on sharing only one meal along with the bill.
What? No.
Yeah.
Immediate deal breaker.
Yeah.
First off, what's wrong with this guy that he can't finish a whole meal?
Well, she's 27. He's 35. He makes very little money at his job. She thinks this is behind what he does and why when they go out for dinner. Anytime she and her boyfriend are at a restaurant, he insists on sharing only one meal along with the bill. They split the bill. She's extremely bothered by this, but she hasn't brought it up to her boyfriend since he's insecure about his income, and she's afraid of making him feel even more terrible about his financial status. Additionally, she has a tough time with body dysmorphia and problems with food, so she can't bring herself to voice wanting more to eat at dinner with her boyfriend. Well, that's on her. She needs to really voice herself.
I mean, that's a major problem in of itself. Yeah.
As for her boyfriend, he will sit back and talk about how full he thinks he is at any time they split a tiny little meal, which serves to squash any inclination she has about speaking up. No. Yeah, definitely speak up. She says, for example, last night we got sushi, and I suggested two hand rolls each and splitting a spicy tuna crispy rice. He scoffed and said one hand roll each is more than enough, and I couldn't even look at him in the eyes the rest of the night. Well, yeah, you ticked off. Maybe he is embarrassed about how much he makes. Well, then he needs to do something to improve his life, you know, to make more money. So he's not embarrassed by it. I mean, what is he doing? Is he working in radio? Ditch that loser.
God, can you imagine dating someone who works in this business?
I think it's probably the money thing, but it also sounds like a controlling factor. I mean, he's 35, she's 27. I think it's probably like, you're going to eat what I tell you to eat. And
right, because otherwise, why would it just be, all right, you're paying for your food, I'm paying for mine, because I can't afford to pay for both.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get your tiny, you can get a Tic Tac worth of food or whatever, and she can have whatever she wants. It's probably, I want you to eat what I want you to eat because I don't want you to get fat. I want you, or it's a control issue. The guy sounds like he's like a real load.
That is absolutely what it sounds like. Like, there has to be more to it than just being broke. Because let me tell you, I've been broke. I've been broke a lot over the decade or so relationship that I'm currently in.
Yep.
And there were times where the eating out would often be reduced to, like, takeout pizza or something because it was cheap and it was, like, you know, it wasn't going to break a bank for either of us. A lot of pasta nights at home.
Right.
And thankfully, I married an incredible cook, so that... That helped a lot, but I can't ever imagine, like, making her, like, you're going to split this with me and that's all you're going to get for food. Like, there's one thing that we don't ever screw with each other on in this relationship, and it's the food.
Yeah.
She don't tell me what I'm going to eat. I don't tell her what she's going to eat. Like, that's not...
Right.
That's just... That would be a deal breaker for both of us because we just love food too much.
She says, I'm considering just suggesting to stay in and cook moving forward, but I worry that he might catch on to the fact that I'm avoiding to go out to dinner since we usually do that often. I'm not sure what to do here. Yes, you do. Just speak up. You need to stop being such a soft-shelled woman and just say, hey, I'm Mama going to eat. And if you'd want to go ahead and, you know, get something off the kids' menu or something off the appetizers, you know, you go right ahead, but I'm eating.
I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea to, you know, maybe just ditch the going out to eat for a while and just, yeah, cook at home. Like, if you have the ability to cook at home and you're actually, you're not the kind of person that could literally burn a pot of boiling water, then yeah, absolutely do that instead.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it'll save you a lot of hassle, a lot of headache here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think there's a lot more going on here. There's probably a lot of other control issues. You know?
Does she say anything else about any of these other sorts of things, or is that basically that's as much
it.
As we get?
That's it, but I'd be willing to bet you if you delve into it, it's probably one of those things where he has to drive. Not his car, because he's low on gas. They're going to take his car, but he's got to drive.
Oh, see, oh no, no, no. That's like I don't need to be in that level of control. In fact, most of the time I prefer somebody else drive.
I'm so glad you're driving.
It's like Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like, no, my car stayed down here Saturday night because I absolutely you saw those giant mugs of happiness that I was toting around.
Yep,
like,
yep. We were very responsible when it came to not drinking and driving, so I'm very proud of us.
Just kind of a side note PSA here from your friends at Happy Hour. If you don't drive, don't get all messed up. Get someone else to drive you home. And especially if you have a significant other who is more than willing to do it for you.
Yeah. Rachel, she wasn't drunk. She was just high on cocaine.
Exactly. See, you're fine. It's fine.
We got halfway home before we realized we forgot the car.
No, I started to pour my last bottle. Like, are you sure you're going to be okay? Like, no, I do not want to drink anything else tonight. I am good. She'd had kind of a rough go. Like, she didn't get drunk the night before, but sure, just wasn't feeling the drinking. The stomach just wasn't taking it. So, like,
yeah.
All right, speak now or forever hold the whiskey. As I'm sitting here with a bottle of Jameson in my hand, ready to dump it in this mug. Like, nope, you're good. Like, all right, that's all gone now.
Glug, 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 glug.
A whole like 2 liter, no, or a 20 ounce a pop to top it off, and still like that was a mighty strong drink.
Yeah, it was a good time though.
It was a good time, but
yeah.
But no, I don't. That's another one of those control things that I really do not understand for the life of me. Like, why would you want to have to be the person to take on the responsibility of driving? I try and get out of it whenever I can.
I mean, usually when we talk about these letters or these situations, they're always that one moment where she's like, he's really funny, he's good with kids, he's a really good guy, he likes dogs, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't give us any of that.
Yeah, you noticed that was missing too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's how you know, like, you can't even come up with one redeeming quality about this guy. So he's broke, he's controlling. Which, how are you being controlling when you're this, I mean, I get that, you know, some people just do their, you know, that's how they deal with their inadequacy, but, like, as we've said more times than I can count on this show, he or she who makes the money makes the rules.
Well, I mean, there is that, but then there's some people,
I don't make the rules very often.
I don't know, she must have come from a different kind of household, maybe it was a very male-oriented household where she's letting him call all the shots. She doesn't like it, but she's letting him call all the shots, and he's not making the money because he's got a penis? That doesn't always work or shouldn't work. It should be a relationship should be 50-50.
Absolutely should, or you know, as much as can be when the circumstances dictate. Like, there's absolutely no reason to let him just have this much control over this is what we're gonna do when he doesn't even have the means to make it happen. That's the sad part, all.
Right, right.
It's not like you're completely, you know, destitute and he's just like, if you don't basically have a life or a place to live or anything, if it's not for him or anything like that. So, like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What are you even sticking around for?
So you go to the restaurant, you order the most expensive thing on the menu, the biggest thing, pig out platter stuffed inside of a lobster tail or whatever. You're just everything. And, you know, we don't have to split it. In fact, I got that. Mama got this.
Just really just go around flaunting it, if anything, just really just doubled it. Make him feel even more insecure. I like it. That's good thinking.
The whole sharing a meal thing. You know how you get rid of this? I don't even know why I didn't think of this. Or just find the most disgusting meal. This is what we're getting. Have you ever had haggis? Come on, we're gonna have some haggis. We're gonna split a meal. That's right. Oh no, honey. You always want to split a meal. That's right. We're gonna split us some haggis. How about some escargot? Do you know what that is? No, I didn't think you knew how to speak French. Come on, we're gonna have some escargot. Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden you don't want to split the meal? You don't want all one meal? You want your own? Oh, what's the big change there, tough
Funny
guy?
How that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, real quick, you went back on this whole plan of yours, didn't you?
That's right. Rocky Mountain oysters. Oh, you're going to love them. You're just going to love them.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be your new favorite thing. It really is. How did it take us this long to come up with that as a solution, honestly?
I don't know. We were trying to do things the correct way, and then we're like, hey, wait a minute. Let's take a left turn.
You know, we really should have thought of that, like, right off the jump. Here we're trying to actually do good work and help people out and stuff, and we could have just been screwing with them the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
My God. It was, you know, best laid plans, I suppose. It's happy hour. Well, since we didn't get to do this properly on Friday, how about we dive into our favorite bit on the show, Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice?
Yeah, I wasn't on the show on Friday, and I didn't realize I would miss unsolicited advice, or UA, as the kids call it.
No one calls it that.
I'm trying to make it happen. Shut up.
Stop trying to make it happen.
UA's not going to happen. I missed it. I really wanted to. I felt judgy, and I had no one to judge, so I was just walking around Lapeer Days, just judging people at random.
I mean, how's that different from any other Lapeer Days ever?
This is true.
So that being said, let's get into a little installment of unsolicited advice for real people with real problems. Send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and quite frankly, I think we get better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
Preach.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Dear literally anybody other than Sean and Adam, my husband and I have been together for 9 years, married for 7. I moved into his house with him, and I'm still not on the mortgage. I work full-time in the medical field and contribute to all the bills. We did meet with an attorney, and if, God forbid, something happens to him, we have a quitclaim deed, and I wouldn't have to leave. However, he has said to me several times, if you do this or that, you can't live here anymore. I'm on eggshells a lot. My concern is he could tell me to leave at any time, and I wouldn't have a say in it. I love him with all my heart, but this makes me feel like I'm disposable. It makes me sad and uneasy. What do you think?
Wow. This is almost like a continuation of the whole couple that has to eat the same meal. It's a control thing.
Yeah.
And you need to have that happen. In fact, I'm starting to think, I don't think I've got Dorothy on our mortgage. I need to make that happen.
I may or may not be on ours. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you should be on eggshells.
I absolutely should be on eggshells because she could throw me out at any time, and I have no recourse whatsoever. No judge in the world's like, yeah, yo, you had this coming to you.
Get a pup tent, boy. You're outdoors, man. Now you're gonna be out back by Walmart. he's got to have that little element of control, so he's not going to put you on the mortgage,
especially with the continuing to threaten.
I mean, is he joking? Is it kind of like, oh, if you pause the movie, I'm going to go use the can. If you unpause it, I'm kicking you out? Or is it going to be like, listen, we're buying this car, not this car, we're buying this car, and if you don't like it, you can get out? I mean, how serious are we talking here? I guess enough to where she's writing in. Enough to where she's saying, you know, enough is enough.
There's some things you don't joke about, and, like, throwing your wife out of the house is, I feel like that's definitely pretty high on the list. Like, I mean, we do make the jokes that Rachel could throw me out of our house at any time, but this seems like...
Well, I mean, there's certain laws that kick in. I mean, I'm not talking about common law.
Well, no, because they've actually been married for 7 years.
They've been married. After five, you know, any lawyer is going to be like, she's been living there for 7 years. Once you have your mail delivered there, let this be a lesson to anybody who's going to let somebody move in. Once they have their mail delivered there for a certain amount of time, they live there and they have, it's hard to get them out. We talked to somebody not too long ago who had to evict somebody.
And there's a process you have to go through with that, because you can't just be like, get out of my house. Like,
you go get.
At the point where they're getting mail sent and their legal address is there and everything else, like,
so
evict it is a process that's going to take you at least 3 months or more to do.
And if you divorce somebody who's not on the mortgage, it doesn't matter. They're going to go for half your stuff. So I would say to her, say next time he gets on his high horse and say, if you do X, I'm going to kick you out. Okay, well, if you kick me out, I'm going to divorce you and take half of everything here. Remember that pension, that 401k? I'm going to take half of that.
Yep.
Half that car that you just had to have. Yeah, that's mine too. I guess we're just kind of a liquidate everything, and I'm going to get a pretty nice nest egg where I can get my own house in my own name.
Have us a nice little liquidation sale. Going on business. Everything must go.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of it fast enough.
Starting with your golf clubs, jerk. Because you know a D-bag like that, you know he's got golf clubs. Probably never golfed in his life, but he's got golf clubs.
Oh, yeah. Probably has a couple sets of really nice golf clubs that he's never, ever used.
Yeah, that's right. All those comic books, yeah, half of those are mine.
Yeah, maybe one or two of them are actually worth anything, but you better believe I'm going to be selling those.
So what? Oh, your grandpa gave that to you on your fifth birthday, and he's been long dead? I'm taking that one.
That's definitely going with me.
So. And this sweet, sweet rack, we're leaving. I hate hearing stories like this, because if you're going to marry somebody, once you marry somebody, it should be open season on everything. On everything. Everything should be 50-50, decision-making, all the failures, all the spoils, all the wins. It should be 50-50. And this whole thing, well, if you do this, I'm going to throw you out. If you do this, this is going to be bad. I am in charge of this marriage. That's the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah, I don't like that either. People like playing that kind of dynamic, like, you know, the what I say goes, and I can, you know, end this thing at any time, and just like forever holding everything as a threat over your head.
You know, if you can afford it, just put a down payment on an apartment. So, oh, I got my own place. You want a key? Sorry. I don't want to make you a key. Sorry. In case you can throw me out, I got someplace to go. In fact, I'm going to go there right now. Come on, kids.
everyone pick up something of value and carry it out of the house.
Not my clubs. No, honey, half the clubs are yours. I'm just taking the driver. Hope you can hit that shot with a 3-wood, jerk.
Here, kids, help me with the couch. It's okay, you can keep the love seat, that's fine.
I'm taking half the dog too.
Oh, God. Catman, no.
Yeah, that took a weird turn. My apologies.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, just go with the chase. What did the dog do to you over the weekend, Adam? My God.
Oh, you don't want to know. That dog has a habit. She can reach the counter and she helps herself to food on numerous occasions. But that's a whole other story. But you're going to keep me out? You know, I own half this stuff and this Black & Decker chainsaw. I'm taking half of it right now. Ooh, that was a nice 75-inch plasma. The couch? Oh, yeah. Ooh, nice leather couch. That should saw easy.
Now let's be serious here, Adam, for just a moment.
Sure.
That if you destroy half the stuff, then you don't get to have any of it either. So
hey, watch the world burn.
there's got to be another TV in that house. You know, take the nice one out of the living room, and you know, leave him with what's left. You know.
Yeah. Enjoy your 720.
Take the washing machine. Leave him with the dryer.
You can wash it in the bathtub and put it in the dryer. You know, it'd be nice and dry for you.
Exactly. Yeah. You keep the chest freezer out in the garage, but I'm taking the fridge.
Yeah, there. Yeah. See, now that's thinking. Yeah, exactly. I'm taking the oven. You keep the fridge.
Just, you know, you take the things that'll be a minor inconvenience. Don't worry. You'll still have the microwave. It'll be fine. I am taking the toaster oven, though.
Oh, no.
The air fryer's mine.
And for a bachelor, I mean, a toaster oven, that's
it's a lifesaver. No, it really is.
I love my I used to love my toaster oven.
I still do. Like, we get quite a bit of use of it. Because sometimes you don't want to fire up the full-on oven, wait a half hour for the thing to preheat or whatever. And
exactly.
Sometimes I want that, and ours has an air fryer, too. So, like, sometimes you just want that instant gratification, you know?
Yeah, well, it also helps after a bar night. You want that Hot Pocket now. So it's going to heat up now, and also, you can set a timer. So if you're sitting watching South Park or something like that and you fall asleep, you're not going to wake up to a smoky house and a charcoal Hot Pocket.
Exactly. Nobody wants that. You don't want the whole house to smell like burnt Hot Pocket for the next week.
You can't get that smell out.
You really can't. The only thing worse is
popcorn.
Burnt popcorn.
Burnt popcorn.
That actually comes to the reason why I hate hate popcorn so very, very much as a kid.
I love popcorn, but still,
As a kid, one of my siblings threw a bag of popcorn in the microwave and left it in there, like, all night. Like, I don't know how long, but it was long enough that the whole house smelled like burnt popcorn for a week.
Yeah.
I still have PTSD from that stuff, man.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I'm telling you.
Now, the air fryer. A lot of people have gone the air fryer route. I have not. I mean, talk me through it. Obviously, it's like hot air. It's like a dryer kind of thing.
Kind of, yes. Like, because the one I have, like, it's not like one of those big, like, little egg-shaped countertop things. Like, this one is actually, like, it's a setting on the toaster oven that we have.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like, the only thing I don't particularly like, because I did some wings in it the other night. The only downside is, like, I feel like the underside was still a little, like, mushy. I'm like, you might still have to, like, stop it and, like, flip them, like, you know, part of the way through or
to make sure
it actually cooks evenly, because otherwise, I don't feel like it does. I mean, you've got that basket thing, much like a traditional fryer. That's what you put the stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot quicker of a way to go, and it doesn't like completely suck all the moisture and like texture out of your food like the microwave does.
Okay, definitely. So yeah, definitely take half the air fryer.
Take the whole air fryer, leave the whole microwave.
Okay, there you go. Yep.
There you go. There's your solution to that. Let's dive into another Dear, I was really hoping that we would avoid Adam on this one.
Oh no.
My husband and I will celebrate our 27th anniversary soon. My husband sends Amazon gift cards to other women for sexual favors. Usually these favors consist of sexting. I have recently caught him at this a couple times. We're seniors on a fixed income. We can't afford this at all. He usually uses my money for these ventures. I am 68, my husband is 60. Do you consider this sexting cheating, even though it doesn't involve physical contact?
He's paying women to sext him? Oh my God, what a loser. Oh my God.
God, how just completely undesirable is this man that you married, letter writer?
And uses her money
to buy Amazon gift cards for these people.
Amazon gift cards.
This guy, you know, he's just totally getting catfished like no other, too.
Oh, he probably doesn't care. He just like, I just want somebody to talk to me like that, and she won't do it.
But paying for it, though?
Come on, honey. Call me a dirty, dirty dog. I just can't because I like dogs too much. And meanwhile, he's Amazon gift cards. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a bad dog. I'm going to smack you with a newspaper. Yeah. Oh, here's a $50 gift card. Get yourself something nice. Oh, yeah. Wow. What? Oh. This is a good one. Did you make this one up? This
no, was, oh I God. Wish I did. Oh this my is God. Actually written into a real life advice column.
I'm actually salivating at this whole letter. Just there's so much to unpack here. I don't know where
this might take up the rest of the show.
It's like when the prime rib comes, you don't know where to get at it first. Okay, so he is buying gift cards. For
women that are not his wife of 27 years.
Yeah, and oh, and so yeah, there is definitely there's an intimacy issue. There's a lot of people say, well, you know, it's not cheating because it's not in real life. If there's an intimacy issue, there it's cheating. Sorry, guys.
That is there is absolutely no way that this isn't cheating.
Oh yeah, it's definitely cheating, and using her money to do it.
Right. He's stealing money from you to go sex to other women.
Maybe he thinks that this is his way of laundering money. Oh, it was an Amazon gift card. It was for Billy. It was Billy's birthday was last month. And you, three different Amazon cards? He's just thinking back to, oh, yeah, I remember that. She pretended she was Marsha Brady. Oh, I remember that one. Oh, God. yeah, I love that. Amazon gift card. He's got just the numbers. Oh, yeah, 4079. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Yeah, she's a good girl. Wow, this guy must think he is so slick, and he is absolutely the dumbest human being ever. I mean,
possibly the dumbest individual ever to walk the earth.
So what is her question?
Question is this cheating? Yes. I feel like that's the least of your issues here, lady.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes. You are being cheated on. Wow.
The second it came to him sending money to other women.
I mean, how did she start to get wise? It was like a bunch of charges to Amazon. Ding! Oh, here he's running to the computer. He's 60 years old. He's bad hip and all, just running to the computer.
Yeah, I have questions that I'm not really sure that I want answered. Yeah.
You know what probably tipped him off was Alexa. Hi, Harold, you have a new notification. Three people just said, thank you, Daddy. Oh, jeez.
This is amazing.
Are you being... Yes, you are being cheated on. Yeah, you need to reel him in. I mean, so how old is she? Is 65, 67, something like that?
Yeah, I said she is...
That's a scary moment to think. I mean, we have to really...
She's 68. He's 60.
68. That's a scary moment for anybody, regardless of gender, where you're gonna divorce somebody, which this is ultimately probably what should happen. But at 68, the chances of meeting somebody to spend your life with is slim to none. And now she has it's not, am I being cheated on? Do I want to spend my time alone, or does she want to live in a situation where she's being humiliated and paying for it?
Right, that's the worst part. Like, you're literally paying for this guy to do this. Like, the fact that his fun is coming out of your fun money is really not involving you. Like, that's a terrible thing. I am just amazed that this woman is so very, very naive. Like, is this cheating? I don't understand.
I think she knows it is. She just wants people to verify it. Or, because she knows what it is. You know what? Turnaround is a fair play. Just go ahead and start getting, like, you know, taking money out of his account to, like, you know, Planet Fitness memberships to a bunch of guys.
There you go.
And he's like, wait a minute. Well, there's like six Planet Fitness memberships. Oh, yes, Harold. Did I forget to mention that? Yeah. I was going to the bank to find out what about all these Amazon gift cards. And then I met these guys who were just painting the house. They're college students. They're just all hanging around. They were with their shirts off, painting a house to make extra money for college. And I decided, get them all Planet Fitness memberships. Oh, they're just great guys. They're taller than you. And
we've also hired them all as pool boys. And we don't even have a pool.
I know. It's so fantastic. They're right outside. They're a great group of guys. And I can't rub suntan lotion on all of them. I actually could use your help, Harold. I mean, right? All of a sudden, it's not funny anymore, is it, Harold?
Not such a good time all of a sudden,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, Amazon. That sounds like a great idea at first, but now, yeah, you got a bunch of greased up guys from Planet Fitness hanging around in your backyard wanting to know where the pool is. Making a move on your woman.
Absolutely. I mean, turnabout's fair play, right?
Yeah. What's that, Alexa? Ding! You're screwed.
Now, the serious bit of the advice here is, like, obviously, A, cheating on you. That shouldn't even be a question at this point. B, what, you know this. You know he's doing this. Why are you staying with this guy? He clearly, he doesn't have money. Because if he's using your money to fund his good time, clearly it's not like you're dependent on him for anything. Yeah. Why have you not already kicked him to the curb?
Right. Well, it's like what I said. She's 68 years old, and there's people who are really terrified of dying alone, being alone. Because she knows she's not going to be able to maybe find somebody. First of all, I mean, maybe now she's looking at it, maybe I shouldn't have been such a cougar. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
But at the same point in time, you may think that, but keep in mind, clearly, you have enough money to fund this guy going and do all this stuff. You could find you a... You could be somebody's sugar mama.
Well,
and someone
she
who's
is
probably
right
a
now.
Lot younger and more attractive right now, than the guy you're currently with.
You got the stamina of a Mustang.
You know, put that to use and actually get something out of it.
I mean,
that's all I'm
saying.
If you're
going to have a busted hip, at least go about it the right way. Oh, Harold, ever since I kicked you out, I'm telling you what. I'm in a wheelchair permanently because Enrique just destroyed me. And Sean looks at the numbers. Okay, 556. All right. Oh, and he's probably like... He's thinking,
hey, 4079, my wife kicked me out. Do you want to meet up?
Absolutely not.
Hello? Sorry, Daddy.
You have no money. You don't get no play.
I mean, it makes sense. It's a normal thing. Get rid of him. Kick that guy to the curb. But at the same time, she's got to be wondering him. Does she want to be alone? I would think maybe there's
who
a middle...
Who says she has to be alone?
Well, she doesn't have to be alone, but she's probably scared of it. So I'm thinking maybe there's a middle ground where she's like, hey, I caught you, Mr. Amazon. I'm cutting you off, and you're just going to have to live with it or go on get.
I mean, I guess that's fine, too, but... I feel like either way, the end result's going to be the same. It's either going to be he's going to continue sneaking around on you, or you two are going to split.
Well, if he's going to sneak around, let him do it on his dime.
Right. That's when you just take all of the money, like you take his name off the bank account, take away all his credit, like close down all those credit cards.
Yep.
And yeah, you have fun from there doing all this with no money. As it turns out, no one's interested in having a sugar daddy who ain't got no money. We ain't got no sugar. Let that be a lesson to you. If you can walk away with one, having learned one thing from today's show, it's that No one's going to be interested in a sugar daddy who ain't got no sugar. A public service announcement brought to you by Happy Hour. We'll come back and close this thing out next. Stick around. Get set to wrap things up here on a Monday afternoon. It has been brought to my attention that I am depriving this poor man, even though the NFL preseason is in full swing, but let's not pretend like we care about preseason football. I'm sorry. I was excited for it, but I'd still honestly rather be watching the baseball team that is slowly playing itself out of even further out of contention.
Right.
But I've been depriving Adam of hockey, and he has hockey things that we apparently need to discuss. So, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Well, first, we start with a non-Red Wings subject. Patrick Laine, that's the big news of the day. He's going to Montreal along with a second-round pick. I mean, Patrick Laine is supposed to be the stud. Drafted by Winnipeg, I believe. He couldn't hack it in Winnipeg. Got traded to Columbus. We all thought it was, you know, something going on over there. He was getting bullied by Blake Wheeler or something like that. And then he can't make it happen in Columbus. So
no one can make it in Columbus, though. Columbus is a garbage poverty franchise.
Well, I mean, they did have Rick Nash, but I realized
Rick Nash was the only player they had on that team for pretty much the entirety of his tenure with that team.
Are you throwing shade on Marc Denis?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically, Rick Nash and then a bunch of, like, you know, ECHL-level filler.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus has been pretty much a failed experiment for the most part. But, I mean, you can't get it done, and where Columbus is like, yeah, we want to trade you, and we're also going to send a 2026 second-round pick along with it. And we're getting some defenseman. I already forgot. Jordan Harris. I don't remember seeing him in a Habs sweater at all.
So for what it's worth, last year, he only played 18 games with the team.
Okay.
6 goals and 3 assists for Columbus.
6 goals in 18 games?
Yeah.
For a defenseman?
Oh, for Laine.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought we were still talking about Harris. Okay. Yeah. Only 8. Okay, yeah. So the guy just, there's too many red flags with this cat. So I'm surprised he's still in the league. I'm surprised the Habs would take a flyer on him, but...
Well, I mean, at his best, he can be a 30 to 40 goal scorer. The question is, are those days just behind him at this point?
I think they are. There's too many things are showing that he's got a behavior problem, and he just can't get it done. So he is off to his third team, I believe. Maybe he'll be able to pull it together. I hope so, because I want to like the guy, but... I mean, remember he did get traded for?
Pierre-Luc Dubois,
yeah. And now, and that guy, he's over in San Jose. So, yeah, it's...
I forgot completely that he ended up in San Jose, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I'm trying to remember that
he went to the Kings after the Jets.
Right.
And he's had a decent career for himself. I mean, last year was a little less on the scoring side than he usually is.
Mm-hmm.
16 goals and 24 assists, where those numbers usually closer to 27, 28 goals in a season and like 35 assists, give or take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a down year for him over there, but it's also, it's L.A. Like, I don't think anyone was, well, I mean, they did make the playoffs. They got, you know, blown out in pretty short order by the Oilers, though.
Yeah, well, Oilers also went to the big dance, so you take that for what it's worth. But back to the Red Wings. I got a hot take here.
Now?
Courtesy of ClutchPoints.com. And I want to kind of talk to you, Sean, and see if you're buying or selling. They're basically saying that Carter Mazur will be making the opening night roster.
Really?
Yeah, Carter Mazur, who was fresh off an excellent rookie campaign with the Grand Rapids Griffins in the AHL, could get a look at training camp per the Athletic's Max Boltman. Says, Mazur is the player on this list who I feel has the strongest chance to make the NHL roster on opening night and the one I'd pick to play the most NHL games this season. At 22, there's less incentive to keep him down for an additional AHL reps.
He's already 27?
22, I'm sorry, oh, 22.
Okay, I was going to say.
At 47, at 20, at 22, there's less incentive to keep him down for an additional AHL reps, especially after he was arguably the Griffins' best player in the NHL, AHL playoffs. Some of it is how naturally he could slot in between a bottom six role with Andrew Kopp or Rasmussen on Detroit's third line, or even on a fourth line that could give him some offensive elements with Valeno and or Berggren. He can play a gritty game by going to the hard areas and scoring around the net, or he can shoot it from distance, and that versatility should help him. He did win an NCAA championship with University of Denver in 2021 as a freshman. And he joined the Griffins in 2023-24 season. 17 goals and 37 points in the regular season.
That's fair, and I will say I definitely I could see him. He's an injury away from being called up. I'd say Marco Kasper might have a better shot of getting called up than I would say Carter Mazur does. It doesn't look like, at least, and both of them seem to agree with me here, that Nate Danielson is probably not getting called up right away. Although, again, one of those things where you never know what the injuries are going to be. Yeah. So you may see all these guys get some significant level of playing time before all is said and done.
Hope so.
On that note, we got to get the hell out of Dodge. Stick around. A full hour of local original music comes up next on a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.